Life establishment on our planet Urantia. In all Satania there are only 61 worlds similar to our planet Urantia, life modification planets. The majority of inhabited worlds are peopled in accordance with established techniques. On such spheres, the life carriers are afforded little leeway in their plans for life implantation. But about one world in 10 is designated as a decimal planet and assigned to the special registry of the life carriers, and on such planets, they are permitted to undertake certain life experiments in an effort to modify or possibly improve the standard universe types of living beings. Thus, on this planet they made their 60th attempt to modify and, if possible, improve the Satania adaptation of the Nebadon life designs, and it is of record that they achieved numerous beneficial modifications of the standard life patterns. To be specific, on our planet they worked out and have satisfactorily demonstrated not less than 28 features of life modification which will be of service to all Nebadon throughout all future time. But the establishment of life on no world is ever experimental in the sense that something untried and unknown is attempted. The evolution of life is a technique ever progressive, differential, and variable, but never haphazard, uncontrolled, nor wholly experimental, in the accidental sense. Life does not originate spontaneously. Life is constructed according to plans formulated by the architects of being, and appears on the inhabited planets either by direct importation or as a result of the operations of the life carriers of the local universes. These carriers of life are among the most interesting and versatile of the diverse family of universe personalities. They are entrusted with designing and carrying creature life to the planetary spheres. And after planting this life on such new worlds, they remain there for long periods to foster its development. The life carriers must initiate life on barren planets. They are the carriers, disseminators, and guardians of life as it appears on the evolutionary worlds of space. All life of the order and forms known on our planet Urantia arises with these universe suns, though not all forms of planetary life are existent on Urantia. The core of life carriers commissioned to plant life upon a new world usually consists of 100 senior carriers, 100 assistants, and 1,000 custodians. The life carriers often carry actual life plasm to a new world, but not always. They sometimes organize the life patterns after arriving on the planet of assignment in accordance with formulas previously approved for a new adventure in life establishment. Such was the origin of planetary life of Urantia. When, in accordance with approved formulas, the physical patterns have been provided, then do the life carriers catalyze this lifeless material, imparting through their persons the vital spirit spark, and forthwith do the inert patterns become living matter. The vital spark, the mystery of life, is bestowed through the life carriers, not by them. They do indeed supervise such transactions, they formulate the life plasm itself, but it is the co-director of the local universe, the universe mother spirit, who supplies the essential factor of the living plasm, that energy spark which enlivens the body and presages the mind. In the bestowal of life, the life carriers transmit nothing of their personal natures, not even on those spheres where new orders of life are projected. At such times, they simply initiate and transmit the spark of life, start the required revolutions of matter in accordance with the physical, chemical, and electrical specifications of the ordained plans and patterns. Life carriers are living catalytic presences which agitate, organize, and vitalize the otherwise inert elements of the material order of existence. The life carriers of a planetary core are given a certain period in which to establish life on a new world, approximately 500,000 years of the time of that planet. At the termination of this period, indicated by certain developmental attainments of the planetary life, they cease implantation efforts, and they may not subsequently add anything new or supplemental to the life of that planet. During the ages intervening between life establishment and the emergence of human creatures of moral status, the life carriers are permitted to manipulate the life environment and otherwise favorably directionize the course of biologic evolution. And this they do for long periods of time. When the life carriers operating on a new world have once succeeded in producing a being with will, with the power of moral decision and spiritual choice, then and there their work terminates, they are through, they may manipulate the evolving life no further. From this point forward, the evolution of living things must proceed in accordance with the endowment of the inherent nature and tendencies which have already been imparted to, and established in, the planetary life formulas and patterns. The life carriers are not permitted to experiment or to interfere with will, they are not allowed to dominate or arbitrarily influence moral creatures. Upon the arrival of a planetary prince, they prepare to leave, though two of the senior carriers and 12 custodians may volunteer, by taking temporary renunciation vows, to remain indefinitely on the planet as advisors in the matter of further development and conservation of the life plasm. Two such sons and their 12 associates are now serving on our planet Urantia. 1. Physical life prerequisites. 600 million years ago, the Commission of Life Carriers sent out from Jeruzem arrived on Urantia and began the study of physical conditions preparatory to launching life on world number 606 of the Satania system. This was to be their 606th experience with the initiation of the Nebadon life patterns in Satania and their 60th opportunity to make changes and institute modifications in the basic and standard life designs of the local universe. It should be made clear that life carriers cannot initiate life until a sphere is ripe for the inauguration of the evolutionary cycle. Neither can they provide for a more rapid life development than can be supported and accommodated by the physical progress of the planet. The Satania life carriers had projected a sodium chloride pattern of life, therefore no steps could be taken toward planting it until the ocean waters had become sufficiently briny. The Urantia type of protoplasm can function only in a suitable salt solution. All ancestral life, vegetable and animal, evolved in a salt solution habitat. And even the more highly organized land animals could not continue to live did not this same essential salt solution circulate throughout their bodies in the bloodstream which freely bathes, literally submerses, every tiny living cell in this briny deep. Our primitive ancestors freely circulated about in the salty ocean. Today, this same ocean-like salty solution freely circulates about in our bodies, bathing each individual cell with a chemical liquid in all essentials comparable to the salt water which stimulated the first protoplasmic reactions of the first living cells to function on this planet. But as this era opens, Urantia is in every way evolving toward a state favorable for the support of the initial forms of marine life. Slowly but surely, physical developments on Earth and in adjacent space regions are preparing the stage for the later attempts to establish such life forms as they had decided would be best adapted to the unfolding physical environment, both terrestrial and spatial. Subsequently, the Satania Commission of Life Carriers returned to Jeruzem, preferring to await the further breakup of the continental land mass, which would afford still more inland seas and sheltered bays, before actually beginning life implantation. On a planet where life has a marine origin, the ideal conditions for life implantation are provided by a large number of inland seas, by an extensive shoreline of shallow waters and sheltered bays, and just such a distribution of the Earth's waters was rapidly developing. These ancient inland seas were seldom over 500 or 600 feet deep, and sunlight can penetrate ocean water for more than 600 feet. And it was from such seashores of the mild and equable climes of a later age that primitive plant life found its way onto the land. There, the high degree of carbon in the atmosphere afforded this new land varieties of life opportunity for speedy and luxuriant growth. Though this atmosphere was then ideal for plant growth, it contained such a high degree of carbon dioxide that no animal, much less man, could have lived on the face of the earth.